Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
I want to say something real quick before we get to the word of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter number 6 is where I'm going to be reading today. I just want to remind someone this morning about Job. And we often read about Job, and when you read in detail what happened in Job's life, it's easy to say, wow, how did this man make it? Well, I just want to encourage you and remind you that Job was making it before he was in his trial. The Bible says that he was a perfect man, an upright man, that he eschewed evil. He was a man of character and a man of God. So I just want to remind gently everyone that doing the right things now are going to keep you when things go wrong. Amen? And church attendance and being faithful in our giving and praying and reading our Bibles, these are things that you should be doing whether things are good or things are bad. The reason Job again made it through, it wasn't because he all of a sudden changed his ways. He didn't become spiritual or religious when everything went wrong. He was all of those things before things went wrong. Matter of fact, that's why he was the target of the adversary. It wasn't because the devil just found someone who wasn't doing well spiritually and said, let's take that guy out. No, the Bible says a good man, a perfect man, eschewed evil, doing all the right things. That is why he became a target. So I just before again the word of the Lord, want to encourage everyone to keep doing the things that we know to do to keep ourselves in the love of God, which I spoke about a couple weeks back, and to maintain our spiritual disciplines even when things around us seemingly have changed. Now, the book of Nehemiah chapter number 6, I'm going to read today one of my favorite books in the Bible, certainly in the Old Testament. Nehemiah is one of my favorite characters, and that's right, I just switched these things around. How many of you have noticed with these masks, they're difficult, right? If you switch the cords around, you can breathe a little bit easier. Someone taught me that, a nurse taught me that, and I've been very thankful ever since. Nehemiah chapter 6, I had nothing to do with what I'm saying today. Nehemiah chapter number 6, starting at verse number 1. Nehemiah 6, verse 1, I'm going to read 14 verses. And then I'm going to go back to chapter 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And notice verse 4. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. In other words, four times they did the same thing. And I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in the like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee in Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I said unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shimei, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he had pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished, listen to this, in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. And the last phrase in verse 19, and Tobias sent letters to put me in fear. Nehemiah has always been a favorite of mine, and I'm sure a favorite of yours, when we read about this very unique man who was actually the stepson of Esther. And because of this political family relationship, ended up being the cupbearer in King Artaxerxes' house or palace. He was a man who day after day took great risks, because he would test the wine, he would test anything that the king was to drink to make sure that he was not poisoned. The cupbearer also was privy to all information that was going on, and had a great knowledge of who was coming in and who was going out, a person of high relevance in the king's court and the king's palace. We remember from Sunday school how Nehemiah came about this idea. A man came to him and said, when he asked of the Jews that had escaped, the man replied, actually, Nehemiah, things are not good. The walls of Jerusalem have been brought down. The people are being held captive. Jerusalem is in demise. It's in a wreck. We understand and remember in reading when Nehemiah first heard these words, the Bible says that he wept and he mourned and he cried and he labored for days. Because when something is spiritually broken, it is not naturally put back together. And Nehemiah understood that Jerusalem must be intact. And an attack on Jerusalem and on the Jews, the children of God, an attack on them was an attack on God himself. He understood the seriousness of this defeat, walls in a shambles, a city burning down. And the Bible says that he made this a matter of prayer because he understood the spiritual significance of the destruction and the challenges facing Jerusalem and the Jews. And the Bible says that Nehemiah, as a cupbearer, was in front of the king, King Artaxerxes, and the king says to him, Nehemiah, you're not sick, but your countenance is very, very sad. What is wrong with you? Why do you have this look of complete, distraught, and utter loss? And Nehemiah replied to the king and gave him a play-by-play, if you will, of the activities and the actions that had happened to Nehemiah's Jerusalem that he loved. The Bible says that Nehemiah was afraid. He went and he examined the walls. He examined everything that needed to be done. And he came back to the king, and the Bible says that he was afraid. He was afraid to ask the king for time off. He was afraid of losing his position. He was afraid of failure. He was afraid that things might not go as they wanted. But he had something greater than fear. He had something greater than an assessment of damages. He had something greater than the idea that I'm going to need a lot of people. He had something greater than all of the questions in front of him. And my brothers and sisters, that was this. Nehemiah had a burden to repair something that God had ordained. In 2020, it seems to me, as we think about ourselves and we do an examination of ourselves spiritually, that every one of us realizes when we look on the inside that there are things that need to be repaired. It is so easy to go along in life and just accept the natural processes of things and forget that God wants to do supernatural things in our life. The Lord didn't just fill you with the Holy Ghost and set you on your way for you to never have another spiritual or supernatural event in your life. The Holy Ghost qualifies you for the race, but the race isn't done. The Holy Ghost begins you, and he that began a good work in you, we know, is able to complete it until that day. This man, Nehemiah, knew that God had something in store for Jerusalem. He was led, however, not in popularity, not in trying to fit in. He was led with a burden that came from seeing something completely destroyed, turned around and unwound and completely demolished in ways. This man began to try to build and do exactly what God had asked him to do. And I want to take a step back for a moment and say this. In 2020, God has a work and a purpose for you. Every single one of you. God did not exhaust himself in just a couple of people that do some things that are visible. But God has something for every single one of us to do. God has a purpose for your life, my brother and my sister. God has a purpose for the people that you need to touch. God has a purpose for the lives that you need to be involved in. And all of a sudden in 2020, the thing that the adversary would love for us to think is that there has been a pause in the seriousness about who you are to be. It would be so easy to be a Nehemiah and to see the walls and to see the destruction and to see what's happening to the children of God. And be a Nehemiah who says, I'm just going to sit here in the king's palace. I'm going to sit in the king's court. I'm going to test the wine to make sure he's not poisoned. And I'm going to let the walls be completely demolished and let the enemy have his way. But in 2020, there is no time to push a pause because there is a world that is dying. There are people who need to know the Lord. There are people who are backslidden. There are people who are weak. There are people who need to be built up. There are people who need to be prayed through to the Holy Ghost. There has not been a pause on the work of God and the kingdom of God in the world. As a matter of fact, we should be shining, we should be looking, we should be praying, we should be trying to do everything we can to redo what God wants us to do in the kingdom of God. Nehemiah, however, faced, and when you read Nehemiah chapter 4 through Nehemiah chapter 6, seven different oppositions, and I'm only going to speak on a couple of those today, but read those when you go home this afternoon. He began chapter 6, by addressing the fact that these three governors, these men, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, four times they sent a word to Nehemiah. and four times he responded. The requests were very simple. The requests were very common. The request was, why don't you come meet with us and let us reason together? In other words, we want to have a discussion about what's really going on in Jerusalem. We want to know how you're rebuilding. We want to know who's involved. We want to know, we want to know, we want to know, we want to know. But Nehemiah refused those four different requests. And he made a statement to them that he sent back that I find very interesting. He said, I am doing a good work. I cannot come down that these works should cease while I'm gone. In other words, I'm not going to slow down the tempo and the speed at which we are building. Can I tell you something? When God gives a man or God gives a woman a burden, they aren't going to act like everyone else. A burdened person is going to be going forward as long, as fast, and as hard as they possibly can. Burdens aren't easy to pick up, but when burdens are put on your shoulder, and it's a real burden like Nehemiah had, you can have all the invitations that you want to, but invitations aren't nearly as important as implementation. Invitations are nice, but implementation is imperative. And Nehemiah said, I am not going to leave this wall. I'm not coming down from this work, because the moment that I come down from this work, then everything begins to slow down and everything begins to cease. And I am not going to give up the tempo and the speed at which God is using me right now. And I want to call out to someone today and let you know, whatever God has you doing, whatever calling that God has in your life, don't let invitations from the outside slow you down. Turn the invitations off and say, God has me doing this work. God has me involved right here. I'm not coming down off the wall. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to speed up. If I need more help, I'm going to ask for it. But the work of God is not going to slow down, because the enemy understands this about momentum. And don't ever forget this. Once momentum is lost, it's nearly impossible to get back. And Nehemiah understood, as this man of God with a burden, that his momentum and his speed could not be slowed down. The fifth time, they sent another person to him. And this particular time, it came in the form of a letter. And the letter was very frightening. The letter was very fierce. The letter was very accusatory. And the letter said, listen, we know what you're doing. You're building this wall so you can make yourself a king. We know where you're headed. We know what is up. We know why you're doing what you're doing. And Nehemiah rejected the letter, and he says something so profound. He says to them, they made us all afraid. Now, this is what I really want to speak about today, is the impact of fear. Because when Nehemiah first had this burden, and he had to go before the king, and he had to describe to the king what he wanted to do, the Bible says that he was afraid. He was afraid of the unknown. He was afraid of ridicule. He was afraid of being wrong. He was afraid of stepping out ahead of where he should have been. But now, the fear has changed. It's not the fear of failure. It's the fear that the enemy may come in and take you over. I've come to tell someone today that fear is a very, very real emotion. We all have it. We all face it. We face it in different ways. We have the fear of missing out. We have the fear of danger. We have the fear of being made fun of. We have the fear of risk. We have the fear of losing. We have all kinds of fear. How do we manage our fear? Well, let's take a look at what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah says that they're afraid, and he said that the people's fear would cause their hands to be weakened and that the work would not be done. But then he prays a prayer and says something that is powerful. He says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. In other words, when I'm so afraid that my hands become a little weak and fear comes rushing in, Lord, strengthen my hands so that the work continues to be done. Sometimes we need God to just step in and strengthen us. Not because we're failing, but because we are afraid. And someone who is afraid is not nearly as productive as someone who is not afraid. If you're working in fear, You're timid, you slow down, and it's easy to have second guesses. Nehemiah then says, as he's coming to a conclusion of these different ways that the adversary tried to confuse him and tried to get him to step back, he said that there was a man that was sent to him, a spy, if you will. And that spy said to him, Nehemiah, why don't you come down off the wall? Why don't we go into this sanctuary of God? Because they're coming to kill you tonight. And he said in verse 13, therefore he was hired that I should be what? Afraid. And that I would sin. Because Nehemiah knew this emotion of fear. He understood that he had to guard against something that would cause him to be off his calling. So he said, I will not go down to that sanctuary. I will not go into that temple. What kind of man, what kind of leader, what kind of burdened person would I be if after all this time and I was on the wall and we were building and doing all these things, if at the first chance to save my life, while everyone else's life is in danger, I would run into that chapel. I would run into that temple and I would save myself. He said, no, I'm not going to live in this fear. I'm not going to be conquered by this fear. It would be so easy. He tried to avoid captivity. He tried to avoid death, and he did it successfully. Why? Because he understood that the God who called him, that God who burdened him, was for him making it. But he still had fear that could have been pulled out by the enemy. He then says in verse 14, when he's praying to God, he says, my God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to those and their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that what would have put me in fear? Nehemiah wasn't afraid of hard work. Nehemiah wasn't afraid of the people he was working with. Nehemiah understood one thing. If I get to a place of fear, I might not be everything God wants me to be. And I might not do everything God wants me to do. But the Lord didn't give us what? A spirit of fear. But of power. And of a sound mind. We'll talk about a sound mind one time too. Some of us wonder, what is a sound mind? I wonder today in 2020, as we're examining our lives, if we look at Nehemiah, who's doing a great work that comes from a burden. He's a godly man doing godly things, but yet the temptation, or the one thing that could slow him down, was fear. And the adversary knew, if I send word through messengers, if I send letters, if I send death threats, if I can just get Nehemiah to be afraid, then this work will be slowed down and it might not be done. So today, as we examine ourselves spiritually, I wonder what we're afraid of. And I wonder if the adversary has not spent as much time tempting you with the things of the world, as we call them, or the vices of the world, but rather has delicately put together a pattern, a web, a net in which we are caught, and even the slightest levels of fear. Burdened people aren't common people. I hate to tell you. Burdened people don't fit in with everyone. I hate to tell you. Nehemiah was on that wall doing the work. He had workers around him, but he just didn't fit in with everyone. He was called to do something big. I want to tell you today, God has called you to do something big. God has called you to be involved in something powerful. It's the kingdom of God. You may not get the job you want. One of the other beauties of the story of Nehemiah is that he understood to put everyone in their own place according to their ability, the Bible says. Why? Because God has something for every one of us to do. My brothers and sisters, I hope, and it sounds so simple, I know. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid? Be not afraid. Step into the water, right? Over 250 times the Bible says, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid. Why? It's because fear paralyzes us. The psychologists all tell us we have flight and we have fear, right? Flight, fright. We know, we understand fear. But it's not just the major fears, the fear of falling, the fear of dying, the fear of spiders, the fear, the fear, the fear, the fear. What about the fear of just going on in the work that God has for you to do? What about the fear of being an apostolic person in 2020? What about the fear of praying through to the Holy Ghost? What about the fear of doing things that please God in a world that really doesn't understand anymore why we do what we do? We live in a world where people say, adults believe that. I know if that's what you get at work, but that's what I get at work. Adults believe that. We cannot be afraid. We must be burdened and going forward and availing ourselves to the things of God. In my conclusion, verse 15, the Bible says that the wall was finished in 52 days. Everyone was amazed. Everyone was shocked. But the Bible says that everyone that heard this and they saw, they knew what? That this work was of God. They understood this didn't happen just because we had a good team together. We didn't have the best equipment together. No, this work, the Bible says, they understood with their own eyes. They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. You see, God gets the glory, God gets the credit, but God gives the burden in the very beginning, but we must avail ourselves to God. And when these little things called fear creep up and the invitations to do different and the invitations to be afraid and the invitations to step away come along, you've got to stop and say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I'm going to stay on this wall. I'm not coming down. I'm going to go in my speed. I'm going to go in my momentum. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do the things that God has asked me to do. But what is going to slow us down today? You're probably not going to commit one of the big things we think people do wrong. But we might sit in a corner of timidity and fear and slow down that which God has begun in us. Because it's so much easier to be fearfully quiet than it is to be boldly efficient. It's so much easier to timidly sit back and allow the adversary to convince you you can't, you're not good enough, you don't have this, you don't have that, look at them, look at this, all these different things, and because of fear, we think we can't. But I want to rebuke the spirit of fear this morning, and I want to tell you that you can, and you will, and there are great things that God has for every single one of us. They may seem outrageous. They may seem ridiculous. They may seem bigger than you are today. They may seem like they're out of the ordinary, but burdened people don't work in the ordinary. Nehemiah could have kept a very steady, calm life and been just fine, but God said, there's something I want you to do. So as we stand this morning, I want us to lift up our hands and I want us to begin to pray a specific way this morning. If it's okay to have specific prayers, let's lift up our hands and ask God to move into our hearts. But here's what we're going to pray about today, my brothers and sisters. We're not going to ask God to give us anything materially. We're going to ask God to begin to deal with the things that we are afraid of in our lives. Can we do that? You know, you may not even know that you're afraid of something. You may not even know what fears are holding you back. You may have lived with fears that have been holding you back so long you don't even recognize it anymore. But today we're going to pray about those fears. Now let's begin praying in Jesus' name. Father, we come to you now. On this Sunday morning, human beings who have reactions and emotions that we have to deal with, fear being one of those strong, strong emotions we can't get away from. God, we pray today in the name of Jesus that you embolden the church of the living God with boldness and confidence and victory. We rebuke the spirit of fear that causes a man not to be an Ephesians chapter 5 husband. We rebuke the spirit of fear that causes a man not to be doing the things of God in his life, the callings that he had, the visions that he had, the things that came about in his life. We rebuke that spirit of fear. And in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of fear over the ladies in the church. Lord, you know the things that are going on in the world and the invitations and the pull. We rebuke the spirit of fear that would say you're not worthy, you can't, you're not enough. We rebuke the spirit of fear that holds the women of God back today. And we pray, God, that the Holy Ghost would embolden and that the Holy Ghost would ignite a passion and that the Holy Ghost would ignite a fire in all of us. Fear sells. We know that fear can be exciting, but fear is detrimental. And we pray today, God, just as Nehemiah had to face fears while he was doing a great work, I pray that you loose everyone here to do great works. And in the name of Jesus, we bind fear. And we pray for confidence, and we pray for belief, and we pray for faith. That God, you take us higher. That God, you do a new work. That God, you put us in the right place. That God, you've got a work for everyone in this building. Let us embrace it. Let us hold on to it with great confidence. That he that began a good work in me is able to complete it against that day. In Jesus' name, lift up your hands one more time. Hallelujah. Feel free to pray. You are dismissed to dismiss yourselves in the way that you feel comfortable. But let's lift up our hands and thank God that he is not did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name.